The Lord has allowed Brother Dan Canavan to be here tonight. And I'd like to hear just a little bit from him. I think we would rob ourselves if we didn't do that. And so, Brother Dan, we have been doing something here that we have just thoroughly enjoyed. Every time a missionary comes into our church, missionary family, we ask them, what is the greatest thing that you've seen God do? And the response to that has been absolutely fascinating. Now, every time I ask that, I have to quickly explain, that's just the name of it. This doesn't have to be the greatest thing, because you begin to wonder, well, would that be the greatest thing? Well, no, that wouldn't exactly be the greatest thing. What we want to hear is some great thing that you've seen the Lord do on the field. I think God has brought Brother Dan here tonight for several reasons. For one thing, Justin Clark back there feels called of the Lord to the mission field, and he is entertaining a strong inclination toward the country of Ireland. Well, now, is it any irony that God sends a veteran missionary to Ireland here tonight to let him meet him kind of unexpectedly? So anyway, Brother Dan, if something popped into your head about that, about the greatest thing, tell it. If it didn't, if I just kind of slipped up on you on that and nothing pops comes to mind, I want you to share with us just a little bit of what God's doing in Ireland there, where you are, how the church is doing, what the work is doing, maybe some prayer requests or whatever. I would like to get this to where it would be a blessing and a help to you, where you really didn't feel a particular obligation to come back again if your schedule doesn't work well with that. So why don't you just come, tell us a little bit about what's going on there in the country of Ireland, and you'll feel the right time to do that. I won't put a time frame on it, but just come share with us just a minute and give a little brief report to these people, if you will, please, sir.
Honestly, I have not met a lot of people like your pastor. Sometimes I'm not quite sure how to approach him. He is just so considerate, and I truly mean that. He's always an encouragement. And I just enjoyed, really, I have my family with me, and when we're on the road and we're traveling, I'm not able to take them with me a lot. They're involved in the bus ministry where they're at, and they're in the music in the church, at our sending church. So usually I travel by myself to the meetings, but while we're down here, I wanted to bring them by and just share with you and just be with you a little bit tonight. So I won't take long. I'm not known to be long-winded. In Ireland today, one of the greatest blessings that I think I've seen outside of my family, what I see the Lord doing in my own home, is the Lord is bringing together a wonderful nucleus of believers. And it would be a lot like yourselves. If you were to go to Ireland this Sunday, if you would have been there, you would hear music that is very similar to the music that you hear in this church. You would hear preaching that is very similar to the preaching that is in this church. It would be from the same Bible. There would be a certain tone or character to the church. God has brought together a wonderful core of believers in the church, and this is really important. So what we have today is our Sunday morning group and our Sunday night group and our Wednesday group are not that much different in attendance, and particularly Sunday morning and Sunday night. So these are faithful, tithing, committed believers that are faithful to the Lord and reaching out to other believers. And God brought that together. When you think of Irish culture, you're thinking about 99 out of 100 people that are unsaved. So I can go knocking on doors in Ireland, and I say 99 out of 100, but honestly, folks, of those that would come to the doors, it would be hundreds of people before I would find anyone with a clear testimony of salvation. So for God to reach into this darkness and draw out a people for His name is a miracle. That is grace. And that's what God has done through His Word. And I'm grateful for that. So today there's a church that tithes, that pays for the rent of its own building. And the Irish give over $10,000 a year to missions. And that is this is generated all in Europe. This is their giving that is doing this particular work. One thing that we've run into there is the price of land. Now, I know we had a boom here in the property market, but in Ireland it was extreme. The land in the area where I was at peaked at about $55 million an acre. I don't live in a city center. I live on the outlying area. There was a two-acre site. They knocked down a hardware store. It went on the market for 40 million euros. It sold for 70 million euros, which is about $110 million. Well, it's now fallen about 85%. And at this point, it's only worth about 15% of what it was once worth. The church is ready to grow, and we want to grow, but we haven't had space to grow. We've just been kind of in a holding pattern for a little while now, and I'm excited about the potential of actually transitioning into a larger building, a better building that is better situated to reaching people and to growing the ministry and reaching into children's ministries and doing things like that. So I'm excited about the next step. I'd just like to say thank you to my family, and particularly Andrew, Beck, and Caleb, and Beth are really the ones that the Lord used to set that tone in the church and work in and through them. I thank you, Pastor Miles, for your faithfulness, your testimony, and your encouragement. And I thank you, church, for allowing us to be your missionaries in Ireland. And I sincerely mean it.
Anyone have a question for Brother Dan before we move along here?
Yes.
Well, there is hostility. We live our church is right next door to the police station. So that works out really well. It's a built-in security factor. When we move out, we could find some hostility, but it's a modern democracy. So they do have a police force, and they do have a fairly good judicial system. But there is animosity. So we have to be careful about how we say things and the way that we approach it. They're very quiet people, and that's European cultures are much closer knit, and so you have to be subtle, be careful. You're truthful and you're direct, but you're careful also in the way that you say things. So yes, there is a. It could get very agitated very quickly if you're not careful.
Yep. Good question.
Sure. You do it.
Okay. We get a combination of both. If you were to knock on the doors, initially, a lot of them are pretty friendly. They're scared. They don't know what's beyond. There's an uneasiness in the Irish culture about Catholicism. There have been several huge scandals with sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. And so the people are kind of questioning. They're looking, but to go outside of the Catholic Church is a big leap. And so they'll go with us a little ways with a step, but getting past that and becoming part of their life and building that relationship to where they can trust you so that you can lead them out of that darkness is really where we are finding fruit, lasting fruit in their lives. So Irish culture also is based on truthfulness, or saying what you mean is a product of an upright character. And in an undeveloped character, they'll just say more what they want you to hear. Type thing, so we get some of that too. But generally, they're fairly friendly, but taking a little bit further can be difficult. I don't know if that answers you. Yeah, we do get the doors closed in our face too. We get both, but we do get people that will listen. Yep.
You're in Scotland, is that correct?
Yes, sir. We're in.
How does the power sharing thing up in Northern Ireland and all that play out here? Does it affect you at all,
No, it doesn't affect us. It's a lot better. I think Tony Blair, did a fairly good job. I think Clinton and Bush, they both worked together to make that a better situation. It's somewhat complicated, the process. It was more sectarian violence against each other as opposed to Protestant and Catholic. It was more like criminal elements were using this guise in order to achieve political ends. But we are in the Republic, which is a democracy. It's a completely separate country, though part of the European Union. It's a different country, and it just has a whole different makeup. So we're careful too to step back from that a little bit. But it is good that there is some peace there. There are Northern Ireland. It's hard to understand. It's like the Bible Belt of Europe. Up there, you'll have a pretty good number of people that are saved. You have some good-sized Baptist churches. You come to the Republic, and it's vastly different. Though it's one island, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, the 26 southern counties are, this Republic of Ireland is very, very different there. So it's very, very dark. Yep. Do you have a question? You do see people gravitating to atheism and agnosticism, you do see them moving away and just, how do I say it? The natural mind, it cannot comprehend these spiritual things, and it begins to despair after a period of time. They begin to just, they don't know, they search, they don't know where to look. What the Catholic Church will do is, I believe it's very strategic in a way that it does it. It'll go just close enough to keep them intact. It'll come as far as it needs to come in order to keep them under the umbrella and to maintain power in the country. And so it'll do what it needs to do to keep them as much as it can. And I don't mean to say that there's a tremendous evil intent in that. I don't mean to imply that. I mean that they're it's a Catholic country and there's a Catholic Church, and they do what they feel they need to do in order to keep their people. So they are, but they're subtle about that. Yep. But the Catholic Church is waning in power, and it's diminishing. I don't know if that makes sense. The culture is just so different. When you look at it with your mind, it took me about 4 years, or even now, to really understand it. They grow up from infancy, from the cradle, in this system of religious belief. And it's all that they know. The public schools there are subcontracted Catholic schools. So if you put your kid in public school, they would have a Catholic ethos and a Catholic nun or a priest that would be over the education to some point and some factor. And so that's just through the culture. That's who they are. It's a form of identity with them. So I don't know if that answers your question. Whereas we come, it's just one option and a whole selection of things that people choose spiritually. For them, it is the option. So them keeping them in the Catholic Church is just a matter of maneuvering and just keeping them from getting too unhappy.
Yeah, I have a question. So, when we think of Ireland, we think of very poor people. We think of the things that historically have been a part of Ireland, and poverty has been one of the things that are part of Ireland. And now when we see pictures that are coming out of Ireland, we see a lot of what appears to be prosperity. And have the people become very materialistic as the prosperity level has gone up? Is that kind of what they're about now, materialism?
Yes. They are... They're very affluent. They have some of the highest wages in Europe. The minimum wage in Ireland is $13 an hour. They're very affluent. They're highly skilled. You have to remember that if they stop teaching evolution, it would fall. It would die. It takes a lot of effort to keep evolution around. It does. It has to constantly be hammered and taught. And all these false secular philosophies, they're constantly driven so that people accept them. Well, over there, they're a little more laid back, a little more slothful about some things. So in some ways, they haven't really accepted some of this stuff, which just allows a more traditional view or approach to life to produce some young people that they have their problems, their social problems, but they also have some kids that are pretty sharp and that are growing up through the system. And a lot of multinationals, Microsoft and Intel, IBM, have come over. There's a Silicon Valley type of environment there, where there was a tremendous amount of money that went into the country, that went into property. And they have benefited from that. Now, it's changed, but it is still a very prosperous modern democracy. So it is still fairly affluent. When you think of Ireland, it's not... If you thought of it 25 years ago, you could envision in your mind a donkey pulling a cart. That wouldn't be too far. Some parts of Ireland didn't get electricity until the 60s. It was an economic backwater, but today in 2009, that wouldn't be the case.
Just take maybe one or two more if you have them.
Yes. Okay, it was minimal until about 2 years ago. About 2 years ago, we noticed a significant uptake in the Islamic influence. And so we're seeing a lot of Muslim immigration at this point into Ireland. And there's nothing to restrain it. Here you have salt. To a certain extent, you have some type of debate there. There's just nothing really to hold it back. And so the demographics in Europe are that the populations are declining. There's a vacuum for jobs. And so these Muslims are coming in, and Europe is becoming more and more Islamic. We're definitely seeing that in Ireland. Yep. Yes.
How many other...
There'd be about 10 in maybe about a dozen works in Ireland. Yep. So Oslo, all of us struggle with that property dilemma. That's a big thing that really holds the work back. Yep. So there's no, at this point, there's no truly, you know, naturally indigenous, autonomous church in Ireland that has its own pastor. There's some that are, we're growing to that point. So we're training leadership in the church, and the church is growing. There's a good core. If we can get to that next tier of having our own building, that will really help us to achieve that, to be an indigenous, autonomous church.
Thank you, Brother Dan. We appreciate you doing this.